for being late. We'll open up the public testimony on redistricting. Bob Boyer, Senator Boyer.
Mr. Chair, my apologies. We're trying to work out some things so that the building doesn't blow up this afternoon.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
We're trying to prevent the building from blowing up.
No, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It depends on what side you're on.
Senator Harper, Senator Brown, Senator Boyer. My name is Robert Boyer. I'm formerly the state senator from Senate District 8 and a longtime resident and active member of the community in Multnomah County. A county that is the largest in the state, with a population estimated at 646,852 people. A county with the state's largest black population of 45,576. The largest Native American population of 7,581. And the largest Asian population of 13,806. With the second largest Hispanic population of 34,282 people. I come before you today representing the African American Legislative Roundtable Committee on Redistricting with a recommendation for the Multnomah County districts impacted by the reapportionment process. The committee was made up of neighborhood activists, business owners, and private sector representatives from other political bodies and the religious community. The committee took into account the request from Senator Frank Shields and others not to swallow up East Multnomah County in the redistricting process, but to keep their communities of interest intact. The operating principles used by the committee in drafting its plan was to preserve as much as possible the integrity and the boundaries of neighborhoods while assuring responsibility and accountability of political representation based on the unique character and needs of the neighborhoods. The roundtable's plan combined House District 15 and 21 into a natural district, and the plan creates a framework for addressing redistricting in the other areas not accounted for in our plan. I ask you to give this plan every serious consideration because it reflects the will and wishes of the common citizen who is dependent on you to interpret their will and create a plan that accounts for their desires within the boundaries of law. I am, and others who are not with me today, but are willing to respond to any questions having regard to the round table.
So hold your question.
Thank you, Colonel. Bob, could you tell me, just off the top of my head, I haven't learned the district numbers, who currently holds House District 21? So you're combining 15 and 21?
Mm-hmm. I have it right here.
Where is 21?
Oh, who's in 21? Oh, my goodness. I didn't bring what I have it in my pocket.
21. Randy Leonard and...
Oh, Randy, yes.
And then...
But we were state senators together.
How soon you forget. You
know, thank you.
Steve March.
Okay.
Okay. So
yeah, here we go.
Steve March.
Okay. But before you, I have just a copy of my remarks. And today I just want to be short and brief, and I want to give you just a visual outlook of District 18 and possibly 19. But we're here to preserve, and I just recommend 17, 18, and 19. The map that you have copy of, this is neighborhood, the Northeast Coalition of Neighborhoods. And going along with the directions that the state has placed, talking about the neighborhood need to be continuous, be of equal population, utilizing geographic and political boundaries, no divided communities of conference interest, and be connected by transportation links. Now, for instance, we'll be looking at District 18. Formerly, District 18 stops at Fremont Street. They stop at Fremont Street. Now, when we put together District 18 20 years ago, the population was only 44,000. So now it's 57,000 or more. So we're short a few thousand. So instead of going out to the east and taking the recommendations of Senator Frank Shields, instead of going pushing to the east, we just went down. We went to the south. And if there's enough people, the population, we'll just encompass the area just north of I-84. Now, the reason why I'm saying that is that not only does it have a natural boundary, and I think this is interstate on the west, goes over the 42nd on the east, Lombard to the north, and the freeway to the south. That's a natural boundary. Plus, Irvington, Grant Park, and Alameda, and Sullivan Gulch are members of the Northeast Coalition of Neighborhoods. So that's the natural interest that expanding District 18 to the south. So I'll be happy to answer any questions if I can.
Senator Menes.
Senator, who handles this plan?
Well, Senator Gorley, you say who handles this
plan? Who does not like this plan?
Oh, I haven't ran into any people yet.
All right.
So everybody likes it.
So far, everybody likes it. That you've run into so far. Okay.
Well, Senator Menes, what we tried to do, we tried to have a broad base, and that's why we went out and talked to a number of people and let them suggest. So they say, well, we were quite satisfied with 17, 18, and 19. How many people are missing, and how would you get the rest of the folks?
Bob, my district abuts this current district, so I go right up to the Banfield. So I have a very small portion of Northeast Portland, Kearns neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have any objection if we, and then I've got some weird things happening in my district I know that were, I'm sure, to make everybody happy last time around. So I've got a small neighborhood in Northeast, and then I've got Ginny Burdick coming over the river to grab a small part of Southeast, so I'd like to consolidate my district. Would you have any objection if we drew the line to pick up the other Northeast neighborhood Kearns there that I think sort of feels like everybody's stepchild?
Senator Brown, I have no objection.
Okay.
All we're trying to do is make sure the folks are satisfied, keep neighborhoods of common interest, and I've always supported you. I'm not going to quit now.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's one district. It fits on one page. Man, it must be nice.
Come visit me.
Further questions?
Only a portion of a quarter down
here, Chair. Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you very
much. Thank you for coming.
Hard to understand from when you're east of the mountains.
And, committee, we have several other items of information for the record on redistricting. So with that, we will close the public testimony and open up a work session on House Bill 2674, and we'll take Representative Westland, Representative Wilson.
We do have
do we have anybody signed up?
Yeah, I do have
questions. Okay.
Hello.
You just pass this hand.
Could they? Do they want to talk about it or get?
Gentlemen.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman.
Your name is on
Would you like us to begin, sir?
think that's what
we just stare at each other for 10 minutes, and we call it good and go home. Yes.
Okay.
Are you here to testify?
I am here to testify. I am Representative Ben Westland, and I am here to testify on House Bill 2674. Thank you for having us. We appreciate being here. And the first thing I want to point out is that I'm not here to discuss the merits or demerits of term limits. What House Bill 2674 is all about is it puts into law a process which expedites the inevitable, primarily litigation to determine the constitutionality of Oregon's 1992 term limits law. Now, why, you ask, should we expedite the inevitable? And I think why would we want to expedite the inevitable? And I think that's a fair question. And I think I will now talk about the demerits of term limits and point out that if everything goes as wrong as possible, it is the regrettable circumstance that the House of Representatives may have as few as a total of 9 returning third-year members. That's not 9 Republicans or 9 Democrats. That's a total of 9. Not that, as is evidenced before you, being a third-term representative is the be-all, end-all of political existence or acumen, but that is all we will have returning to the House of Representatives. What House Bill 2674 may allow is a fair resolution as to the constitutionality of Oregon's 92 term limit law prior to filing deadline in March of 2002. I'd urge you to pass this out, your support, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Senator Beyer.
To be clear, Representative, this has nothing to do with whether term limits are good or bad or should be challenged or shouldn't be challenged. All you're doing is moving the date when someone can file for office.
What we are essentially doing is moving forward the date that allows someone to file. This has no this makes no presumption as to the constitutionality or lack thereof. It makes no statements whatsoever as to Oregonians' ability to pass term limits laws. It does not impact in any way Oregonians' ability to have term limits laws, but it does expedite the process that would allow a court proceeding to go forward to determine if a 92 law was constitutional or not.
My perception is that the law will be challenged. It's just a matter of when.
I think that is a very accurate statement.
Okay. Anything, Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I want to explain briefly my interest in this House bill.
Who is he?
Carl Wilson, excuse me. District 49?
This is term limits at work.
Yes. Yeah, right. Prime example of a two-term guy who's term limited. I want to explain briefly my interest in this. I came to this process with the idea of trying to bring some total of my life business experience and try to apply those principles to what I did here. When I got here, I realized that the entire process was much faster than I ever dreamed it would be, with far less time for contemplation than I ever thought possible. I realized, too, how quickly a political life is expended here, provided you're reelected for your full term. I've tried to run my business over the years, which is a family business of 43 years. I've tried to run it with the idea of holding turnover down to an absolute minimum, because turnover has always been very, very harmful for my business. As I said in my floor speech on the House side, if I were faced in my own private business with this level of turnover, we would not be successful. We would be so busy fighting difficulties that come from untrained people or people who needed to be re-educated or educated on a regular basis, we would never be able to do anything in a prospective fashion. I get concerned when we're accused of tinkering with the will of the voters, but I don't think that we do that lightly, and sometimes we have to do that to meet changing times and changing conditions. And in good conscience, I can approach this with anyone I know and say that I promise to try to leave this institution somewhat better than I found it, if at all possible. If I could influence it in any way for the good, I would try. And I really can't leave this process leaving the current term limit scheme in place. It would drive me crazy and probably drive me out of business in the private sector. And for that reason, I've had to throw my full support behind this, just out of a sense of duty and a sense of love for this process. I have no history of politics in my family, and it will not run for re-election no matter what happens here. I can't do it. It doesn't work with my private business. I have to get back home and do that work. So this does not affect me in any sense, but I can tell you that I could not run a business with the kind of turnover that we're faced with in this body. So for that reason, I urge your support of this, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
We've got Ted to talk to Dash Freeze, or you guys want to talk to them? Or Ted, can you talk to the amendments to us real quick?
Actually, Mr. Chairman, I can't wait to vote for this. U.S. term limits started nailing into my district.
Yeah. You stopped the mail?
Yes, they did, and I'm proud to vote for this, and they can stick in their ear.
How do you feel about it?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Ted Reutlinger from the Legislative Council's office. The A3 amendments do a couple of things, and we arrived at this language through discussion with outside counsel who may or may not be involved in this. Basically, what they do are simple things. They change the word constitutional to say constitutionality or validity, which some thought was important since an Armada challenge would be to the actual validity of the measure itself when it was enacted in 1993. Therefore, it also references sections 19, 20, and 21 of Article 2 of the Constitution, which comprised the total of the term limits measure that was on the ballot in 1993. The new language on lines 4 through 7 is simply designed to specify that the courts have jurisdiction to deal with this case. There was some concern that other provisions of Oregon law might get in the way. The goal here is to simply provide by law that there is no question about jurisdiction in this case. It also, on line 6, adds the language respectfully asking the courts to deal with the case expeditiously so that the primary election could be conducted under the court's decision. And then finally, it takes out the subsection 6 of the original bill, which we felt was unnecessary because it simply says that if the measure was found to be constitutional or valid, then the plaintiffs could appeal to the Court of Appeals. That's the way it goes now. There was some extra language in there, but folks didn't think that that was necessary to have, so that's out. And now all it says is that if any part's declared unconstitutional or invalid, you get to go straight to the Supreme Court and bypass the Court of Appeals.
Aye. Okay. Further questions?
Thank you.
I'm ready. Do I file suit? I'm not going to come back, but I'm going to file suit.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, and actually a question on our staff summary. It says authorized appeal to the Court of Appeals.
Mr. Chair, Senator Brown, these are the dash 2 amendments.
I got it. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then I'm happy.
You okay?
I'm happy.
And also, members, just for the record, we have testimony from the Court of Appeals.
Mm-hmm.
Pass out.
Okay.
Is the Court of Appeals, are they happy?
Yes, they are.
Oh, good. Okay, they're happy. Of course.
Okay. Somebody want to move the dash 3?
Mr. Chair. Go ahead.
Senator Brown.
After you.
No.
I defer to the good senator.
I'd be happy to move -3 amendments.
Senator Brown moves the -3 amendments to House Bill 2674. Any further discussion, objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The bill. Senator Brown.
No.
I move the bill to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, now, Kate, you're a no?
No, I'm happy.
You're okay?
I'm here to make
everybody
you happy.
Okay? So I can be a no? I don't have to give myself a courtesy vote?
How are you going to carry this?
Okay. Okay. Mark me down as a no and edit, and everybody else is an aye. And any further objections?
Who's going to carry?
I can carry.
And Senator Menace would love to carry. Okay? So ordered.
Thank you for your support, gentlemen.
Thank you, Ted.
Thank you.
Great.
And you, Colonel. Yes. I think we can bring you around here.
I'm just giving myself a courtesy vote. It's been bothering me all day.
Did I?
Carl, are you going to be at 5?
Yeah, here.
Would Gary be there, too?
No, they...
Would you?
Yeah.
Please.
Nap is here.
You said he left because he was fine with the A3s.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, we're in good shape.
Perfect. Almost
about
a
minute.
Thank you,
Jim.
We're okay.
I'm fine on the bill. I'll be right up.
Okay, we're good. All right. Very good. We'll close the work session on House Bill 2674 and open a public hearing on House Bill 2594. Karen, are you you're on here also? Phil Donovan, Charlotte Benz. Want to call?
Okay. Hi.
Revenue.
Can we just move the amendments in the bill?
Without moving the bill?
Let's move the whole thing.
We have a good support up here, and it is getting late.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Phil Donovan. I'm here representing the Heritage Cemetery Group, and we appreciate the opportunity to present House Bill 2594. We are very pleased that this bill received the unanimous support of the House Judiciary Committee. The bill was vigorously debated there, and we appreciated the care and consideration that was offered by Representatives Krieger, Shetterly, and of course the chairs, Chair Max Williams and Subcommittee Chair Cheryl Walker. The bill passed the House on a 58-1 vote, and the intent of this legislation is to provide limited access to pioneer cemeteries that have become landlocked by private property over time. The bill provides statutory authority for cemetery owners, descendants, and researchers to visit landlocked pioneer cemeteries for the very narrow purposes of visitation, maintenance, or historical research. It does this by expanding upon current law, a way of necessity, which currently provides access to historical cemeteries. And I'm getting...
Good bill should pass. Mr. Chairman, are we in work session?
And I would just briefly speak to the -1 amendments. It deletes at least once each calendar quarter and inserts at reasonable times to be designated by the property owner. While this will bring about more negotiations between affected parties, it still accomplishes our goal of bringing about statutory authority. With that, I would bring my comments to a close. I have written testimony to provide to the committee.
Okay, Charlotte, we have nobody signed up in opposition, so...
One work session?
Not yet.
Well, that's good for me.
Okay. Karen, would you like to leap in here? Or you okay? No?
No.
They're a busy bunch.
We'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2594 and open up a work session on House Bill 2594. Senator Beyer.
Move the -1.
Senator Beyer moves the -1 to House Bill 2594. Any objection? Any other discussion objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair. Move House Bill 2594 as amended to the floor to be passed.
Senator Beyer moves House Bill 2594 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Objection, discussion? Hearing none, so ordered. With that, we are adjourned.
Wait a minute.
I didn't mean to adjourn. Nope. I take that back. Stand by.
Thank you for your efficiency, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair.
What we're all about.
Senator Beyer.
I would move that legislative drafts 4265, 4238, 4202 be introduced as committee bills.
Second.
Senator Byer moves LC drafts 4265, 4238, and 4202. We submitted as committee bills. 4265 is at my request. 4238, Senator Miller, and 4202, Senator Farioli. Objection? Discussion? Hearing none, so ordered. Now, we are adjourned.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.